Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, February 24th, 2015. And with me today, I have the always exciting Kelly Gamont. How are you?
I'm good, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing all right. And Kelly's partner in crime, John Martellaro. How are you?
I'm good. The other half of the A-team.
Yeah, 2 days in a row. People are going to talk. Yeah.
Anyhow. All right, let's get to pitying some fools.
Yeah. Okay, so I thought we could start off today with Pebble's announcement, which is the new smartwatch they're making, the Time. And they teased that that they would be making an announcement today. So this was like last week where they teased the announcement. And so we all assumed, yep, new smartwatch coming. And sure enough, today we get the announcement. And it's this new style compared to what they've had. It's going to be thinner, fit your wrist better, mixing metal and plastic, color display. But what they did was instead of just saying, here's the watch, here's when it's coming out, here's what it's going to cost, they said, we're launching it on Kickstarter. So this is a company that started from a Kickstarter project, the original Pebble watch, and then came out with their follow-up, the Pebble Steel, which was not a Kickstarter project. Now they have over 100 employees on staff, and they announce their third smartwatch with a Kickstarter campaign. And they hit their funding, which is $500,000, in 20 minutes. And they're up over, I believe, $3 million on their campaign.
3.6 and change when I looked a little bit ago.
Okay. So from the time they made the announcement to now is like 2 hours?
Something like that, yeah.
You know, Jeff, I used to have a bad attitude towards – well, I still do have a bad attitude towards large companies that use Kickstarter to replace what they should be spending on R&D. But for a small company with 100 employees – they don't have a lot of capital, perhaps, in R&D, and it's risky to come out with a product that people may not embrace. This Kickstarter system is perfect for a company of that size to get a taste of what the customers possibly want and then get it well-funded. I think it's great.
It's, you know, I think it's great, but I also think that this funding was not because they needed the money, but because they figured a way that they could exploit Kickstarter as a promotional tool.
That's okay.
I think it's a straight pre-order situation. I think this is just a way to make a splashier product announcement. This allows them to confirm, you know, how many they want to make. And get all of that done, and they've got all the money up front. And I think that for a smaller company, I don't know that 100 employees is what I'd consider small, but I think for a not Intel-sized company, not Apple-sized company, they're probably doing a pretty smart thing to make sure that everybody that wants one, you know, and has expressed interest and will lay down the money has laid down the money. And I think that it's probably a smart way to eliminate the middleman. I think, John, you were talking about instead of R&D, but I think they probably did the R&D, and this is the marketing budget that they've spent on the Kickstarter campaign.
Yeah.
Because clearly everybody's talking about it, or they wouldn't have made $1 million in 20 minutes. I don't think they announced a watch at all. I think they have announced a license to print money.
Kelly, I think you just nailed it.
Yeah, and the right channel.
I think it also underscores something that's very interesting in this whole smartwatch market, because overall it seems right now to be a very lukewarm place to be if you're a product designer, because no one is buying up watches in droves, and Pebble so far has sold only 1 million watches. Which on one hand is not that many. On the other hand, wow, 1 million watches, that's great. I'm expecting when Apple Watch ships in April that we will see far more than that just in the launch weekend.
Hey, Jeff?
Yes.
I saw something very dismaying the other day about the Apple Watch. You know, I wrote back about a week ago about how I thought the middle level watch, the Sapphire watch, mm-hmm. would come in around closer to $500 than to $1,000. But I saw an article the other day that said, oh, no, that's all wrong. This is going to be a status symbol, and you're going to be paying a lot of money to prove that you have a lot of status. And it kind of started worrying me about Apple's trade of price to the customer versus how many they've set up for manufacturing. Mm-hmm. That's a delicate balance there, because if they price, if they say it starts at $349, but that's for the small watch, and then if you want the big watch, you got to add a decent band, and then we're going to charge you an enormous amount of money for a Sapphire display, and you better be ready to part with $1,000. That could be kind of dismaying. So, and then they've got the competition from other smartwatch companies that understand that and are making things very affordable. You know, Pebble, as you said, sold a million of these, and $159 is pretty affordable. So, boy, what
when
a mess
that is.
When it
hits the store, it'll be $200. So it was $159 for the early adopters, which I'm assuming at the rate they sold first 5 minutes. And mm-hmm. then $179
right.
for the rest of the Kickstarter backers, $199 when it hits the store. Still, that's a pretty affordable price point for smartwatches, and will come in $150 below Apple's
entry level.
If Apple's not careful, they could unwittingly create a vacuum and help populate a market one step below the Apple Watch that could become very popular.
Well, I think another thing that's happening here is that Pebble is Pebble. And what I mean by that is they launched via Kickstarter and turned into an air quote real company. They were a real company before. Like, I don't know at what point, where the tipping point is for something like that. But they're a great company. And, when people are putting money down via Kickstarter, they sort of feel like they have a stake in that. So everybody I know who has a Pebble, if they have one, they got it from the Kickstarter, the original Kickstarter, and they adore it and they say such nice things about it. They've continued to put out software updates so that it gains more functionality, so that it's still compatible with your iPhone, and it does a lot of interesting stuff. And everyone I know who has one really likes it. And they all sort of feel like they have a stake in the company. Like, they helped turn Pebble into a thing because they were people who bought the original watch. And at $159, it's a super affordable way to get into a watch that will show you your text, so you don't have to haul your ginormous 6 Plus out of your pocket or your holster or your man bag or whatever. And
I prefer to call those purses.
Well, But man bag was a funny way to illustrate my point. So the thing about Pebble is that they're sort of the little company that could, and people also and a lot of people felt like they helped love this company into being by buying the original Pebble in the first place. So I think the logical evolution of this becoming another Kickstarter that people are clearly delighted to get behind, I think says a lot about the company itself.
I think it says a lot about the company, and it says a lot about the interest in quality, well-designed smartwatches. Mm-hmm. I mean, Galaxy, the Galaxy Gear, Samsung was in a position where they couldn't hardly even give them away.
Oh, yeah.
And they invested a lot of money in designing that product, or at least I'm assuming they did.
And one would think.
One would think. And we have other smartwatches that have been coming out, the Android-based ones, like from Motorola, mm-hmm. which look nice, but I don't see people flipping out and about having aneurysms trying Mm-mm. to hit the mouse button faster to give their money away.
Right.
But then here comes Pebble with their third-generation watch, and they hit their Kickstarter goal in 20 minutes, and within a couple hours, they're so far beyond that, up over $3 million. Mm-hmm. And I'm betting the beer party at the Pebble headquarters mm-hmm, tonight mm-hmm. is going to be pretty, pretty big, and rightly so.
Yeah.
I mean, I see this as the real competition for Apple Watch, and not on a feature by feature basis, but because there are people that are looking for specific things in a smartwatch, and they're thinking that Pebble is going to give that to them.
Apple should pay attention to this. I'm sure they are, but you know, people can love a Pebble because of the psychology of the company and the product and the community, but nobody loves paying more than they want to.
I'd like to point out that I just looked it up, and the Kickstarter has now cleared $4 million.
Wow.
They are 813% funded before 10 a.m. West Coast time on a Tuesday morning.
And this on the eve, well, not the eve, but this a month away from Apple Watch launch.
Well, here's the thing, John. We all know it's coming. We all know the Apple Watch is a thing. We know it's going to ship in like a month. And we know that it's the real deal. This is not not speculation. It hasn't been speculation since October.
Kelly, so, is this a psychological response to the Apple Watch that says, I know the Apple Watch is coming. I know I'm not going to be able to afford it. I know I don't want one, but I know I want this.
Maybe. It could be people who are just into Pebble, people who really want something that's e-ink because it's a different display. So it's an e-ink display, which is why you only have to charge it once a week. The other thing that's sort of interesting about this is if you go to Kickstarter and you type Pebble, you get a variety of things, and a whole bunch of them are accessories and go-along devices to go with the Pebble. So here's a charger, here's a dock, here's a bunch of different stuff that you can, you know, that people want to build in order to have their Pebble be something, you know, whether it's a different watch band or some sort of dock so you can charge it nicely.
Seems like a pre-backlash. Seems like a pre-existing backlash to the Apple Watch to me.
Maybe, but Pebble has been making watches for a couple of years. How many years is it? Three now? I don't remember. I remember sitting in their big reveal at CES.
2 years. Three. Because they were officially funded on May 18th, 2012.
Okay, so CES 2012, I sat in the room when Pebble did their big reveal, and we got our first look and hands-on with the Pebble Watch. So we've gone from that to where we are today, where they're over 800% funded on a new watch in a couple hours.
Well, here's some other interesting numbers for just the Pebble ancillary products from Kickstarter. So the original Pebble was 10,266% funded. A 3D printed watch cover for the Pebble is 222% funded. The Sidekick, which is a Pebble dock so that you can charge your watch, was 559% funded last year. New straps, wider straps for the Pebble, 108% funded. This stand for your watch, 314% funded. Like, I can go on and on and on. Every one of these accessories is also way over 100% funded.
Okay, so what that tells me, John, is that your speculation that this may be like a preemptive backlash to Apple Watch is probably wrong. In that that we have all this interest,
so much history.
Yeah, I think what this really is a backlash to the smartwatch market overall, and this is the consumer's way of saying, look, no one else is getting this right, so. Mm-hmm. So we are going to throw money at the company that understands what it is that we want from this technology. And and Pebble has a track record, a 2-year track record of giving us that. And so I think that come May, when Pebble time is out, and Apple Watch has been out for a few days or a few weeks, depending on when the two products hit. I think that that we will have a 2-smartwatch market.
So do I. There's a lot of mindshare because Pebble staked all of this out years ago. And I think that makes a lot of difference. And like I said, people love them. And I think everybody who has nice things to say about them, it's all right. Like, that's not the people who have a Pebble. They're like, this is a great watch. It does everything I want. I only have to charge it once a week. I get all these other things. It works with, you know, it works with my phone. I switched to an Android device and I can still use my watch the same. You know, they continually release software updates so that my watch has new and different functionality all the time. And like, I don't know anybody who sort of smack talks their Pebble. Now, granted, I don't look very far, but people absolutely love them. So I think it's really kind of an interesting move on their part when everybody is saying Apple Watch left, right, and center for them to come out and go, hey, remember us? Boom. Like, well, you know, if they had a microphone, they're dropping it right now.
Kelly, there is that sort of sorely contrariness in the internet.
Yeah, I kind of love it.
But Apple could find itself in a situation where people go, yeah, it's cool, but it's overpriced. And if you get into that surly contrariness of it's overpriced, that could just drive people in droves towards the second part of the market.
It could. But I think there's a lot of people that were already clamoring for whatever it is that Pebble was going to do, independently of Apple Watch.
Yeah. But I can't wait to see how people react to the Apple Watch. I think it's suddenly the price sensitivity is ringing alarm bells in my brain. And that article I read the other day about how it's going to be a status symbol, that could backfire a little bit on Apple. You want people to love it.
I think people will love it. And I think that while your concern is warranted, it is not necessary. No, that doesn't sound right. If your concern is understandable, yet not necessary. There are a couple big distinguishing factors between Apple Watch and Pebble Time. And so with Apple Watch, you do have the extra fitness tracking sensors that are not part of Pebble. It'll do your step counting and stuff, but it doesn't have the...
Yeah, but those technical details are lost on the shallowness of the market in some ways.
Yes, but Apple Pay is not.
Oh, yes. Well, that's why I'll be getting an Apple Watch.
There you go.
Apple Pay, that's the killer.
Yeah, that's the killer feature that no one else can match.
Right.
Because it's also going to bring Apple Pay to a bunch more phones. I know I sound like I'm beating a dead horse over here, but this is the thing that I think a lot of people are sort of forgetting is that I didn't get an iPhone 6. And when the watch comes out, I can have Apple Pay with my 5S.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Or
have
with
I mentioned
a 5,
that I love Apple Pay?
Any of the tall phones, any tall phone with an Apple Watch will now have Apple Pay. And I think that that's a very exciting thing. And considering how much attention it's getting now and has been getting for a long time, I mean, I wrote up yesterday a piece about how the White House is going to start allowing Apple Pay as one of the mechanisms with which you can use if you have a debit card that the government issues, like for Social Security benefits or things like that, and also for federally issued credit cards, a federally issued credit card will be allowed to be added to Apple Pay. And you can use that because the tokenized transaction is going to make it a lot harder to steal that information. And I think I think Apple Pay is really where it's at with the Apple Watch. Like, people are going to be excited about haptic this and digital crown that and, you know, rose gold, whatever. And that's wonderful. And I'm really excited for all you people and for everyone who's in line behind John to talk about Sapphire. Like, I'm pleased to bits for all of you. But the real deal here is that I have another year left on my contract and I'm still going to be able to wave something at Walgreens and pay and have my stuff paid for. And that makes me inordinately happy.
Yes, you should be.
Yep. And there you go. And that's why a lot of people are going to buy Apple Watch. Hey, we are like practically out of time. Excuse me. And that said, I wanted to hit another topic real quick.
Then let's talk quick.
Okay. So the other topic that I wanted to hit, John, you wrote a review this morning for an iPhone camera lens attachment kit called ExoLens. And I just wanted your perspective on that real quick because it looks like we have some serious competition in the iPhone camera lens attachment market.
Yes, we do. You know, all along, I have been doing reviews of Olaclip, and the Olaclip system is very nice, but it's designed to be small and portable and to fit in your pocket and attach to the iPhone readily. But with miniaturization and convenience, you get limitations in the optics. And I know from my own experience as an amateur astronomer that very small lenses don't have the capability and the flexibility and the light gathering of larger lenses. So ExoLens has gone out with this exotic lattice brace that's threaded for tripods, so you've got the ability to stabilize your iPhone, and much larger lenses than the competition, which is awesome, and provides a lot of flexibility in design. And the brace system allows you to mount heavier, larger lenses in the long run. So I think this is a leap forward and puts a lot of pressure on the competition. And the ExoLens is a really nice system. They tell me that they're going to be coming out with new lenses this year that you'll be able to add on. They've been very forthright with the optical design. And it's not a whole lot more expensive. It's $129. And what you get is a 3X telephoto, and you get a 165-degree wide-angle lens. And you get a lens hood for the telephoto. And you get the lattice aluminum mount, which, by the way, has a soft inner side, so that when you slide it onto the iPhone, you won't scratch it.
Nice.
And you can buy a variety of inexpensive tripods or mount it on your own tripod. So I think it's a shot across the bow of Olaclip. And I really liked the system and gave it a good review.
So I've always been a big Olaclip fan. I'm really looking forward to trying out the ExoLens system. And the big message that I'm getting out of what you're telling me, John, is that we have good competition in this space now for people that are looking to spend under $300 on camera.
Absolutely.
iPhone.
Yeah, when you think about it, you know, when you can pay a lot of money for really good optics, and $129 for two lenses is really a good deal for a professional class lens kit.
So that's great.
And the impression I'm getting here, John, because you talked about the glass and the bracket being separate, does this mean that perhaps in the future, if the shape of the iPhone, let me try that again. In the future, when the shape of the iPhone changes, does that mean that perhaps you can just sort of dismantle your ExoLens and then you can attach it to the bracket that fits properly and you're ready to rock?
Kind of depends on the iPhone 7 camera. You know, we suspect, as usual, that the iPhone 6S will have the same shape and size. And this system is very likely to continue to work. As we know in the past, you know, cases that worked on the iPhone 5 worked on the 5S and so on. So it kind of depends on how Apple does the optics of the iPhone 6S lens, whether there's still a protrusion, whether it still has the same optical characteristics that mate well with the ExoLens. And if so, you should be able to slide this system right onto a 6S, hopefully. When the 7 comes out, perhaps all bets are off. May require a different brace, but you know, with a good design, you might be able to still use the same lenses,
which would be awesome.
Yeah. Which would be amazing, and that's the thing that I'm the most interested in, because particularly at my house, we're never on the same generation of phone anymore. So it would be nice if we could, if it were possible, it would be nice if I dropped the cash on some sort of lens system that we would be able to use it for more than one phone.
Well, you know, that's why it's professional grade. You know, it's one thing to buy the system and use it occasionally and be annoyed when it goes out of date. Mm-hmm. But if you're a professional photographer and you're shooting 1,000 frames a day, you're going to feel like you got your money's worth.
Okay.
Awesome. Hey, we really are out of time, so we're going to have to go. John, Kelly, thank you so much to both of you for joining me today. And,
of course.
And I had an absolute blast diving into everyone's thoughts about Pebble and the new Time smartwatch. And it was great to hear your take on the new ExoLens kit, John. So thanks to both of you.
$4.2 million.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. Where does it stop?
Today is a good day to be Pebble.
It is an amazing day to be Pebble.
Yeah. And hey, listeners, if you dove into the Pebble Kickstarter, let me know. I'm curious how many of our listeners are going to be picking up a Time. Just let me know on Twitter. The TDO Twitter account is at TMO Daily. And so just let me know. And we will see everyone again tomorrow.
Bye, wizard.
Toodaloo, guru.